Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. It is Thursday, July 22nd. You are listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Lance Glynn. I hope everyone has had a good week so far and has also enjoyed media days as well. Before we start, I wanted to remind everyone that if you like what you hear, make sure to drop us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. We love to see your comments and would be so gracious for feedback if you want us to cover a topic we haven't already, or if we haven't hit your favorite team yet as we preview all the Power 5 schools and some Group of 5s as well this offseason on the College Football Daily. On today's episode, I'll be joined by 24/7 Sports podcast head and national recruiting analyst Bud Elliott, who is currently in Charlotte for ACC Media Days. Now, full disclosure, we recorded this at about noon Eastern on Wednesday, right after Jim Phillips' press conference to kick everything off. So I said, hey, let's talk about some of the most notable points that the ACC commissioner hit on. We discussed the ACC and vaccination, NIL as a recruiting tool, beefing up inventory to the ACC network, and Phillips' response to some pretty interesting Dabo Swinney comments. Now, also, you may notice that we had a bonus episode this morning on the College Football Daily feed. Indiana head coach Tom Allen joined Trey as Big Ten Media Days kicked off this morning as well. All right, so that's enough from me. Let's now throw it to my conversation from ACC Media Days in Charlotte with 24/7 Sports podcast head and national recruiting analyst Bud Elliott. Joined now by Bud Elliott from ACC Media Days in Charlotte. Bud, thanks so much for coming on. Now, let me start with this. I believe you got there yesterday. Have you had any time to enjoy the Charlotte area at all, or have you just been kind of full throttle getting ready and getting prepared for both today as well as tomorrow?
Lance, glad to be here. It was a good time last night. We actually stayed around the hotel bar, but I haven't been to one of these in about 3 years. Last year was canceled due to COVID, and I didn't go previous year. So it was good catching up with a lot of ACC sources and people who, just quite frankly, you can text them, you can call them, but the folks say different stuff in person when you're chatting around the bar over a beer or two. Ran into a couple of head coaches last night as well, a little more informal setting. It was a good time, but I haven't been able to get out yet. I know tonight we'll probably go and hit a few spots.
I want to start now and look, obviously, Jim Phillips spoke today, and we're going to try to make this question as, I guess the right word is, non-political as possible, because we're not getting into politics here. It's just regarding vaccination. Obviously, everyone has an opinion, but Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, said a couple days ago that if teams are unable to field a roster, they're just going to forfeit the game. There's not going to be any other cancellations and, you know, reschedules. You know, they're playing a national schedule. They're playing all 12 games. So there's really no time for that. What did Jim Phillips say about what the ACC is planning on doing regarding vaccinations? And if that situation were to arise, does he have kind of the same feeling as Greg Sankey, or is he kind of going on a different route regarding ACC and vaccinations?
Yeah, so Jim Phillips actually had some fairly encouraging news about the ACC. He said that more than half of the teams are over the 85% vaccination threshold, and that several more are close. So I don't know if several means two, if it means three, but more than half means at least eight, right? So I think it's fairly safe to assume that at least eight ACC teams now are above the vaccination threshold, and probably two or three more are fairly close. So that's encouraging. His tone, I wasn't at SEC Media Day, but I was able to watch Greg Sankey's video. His tone was much different than the SEC commissioner's tone. Phillips was, I think, encouraged, quite honestly, about where the ACC is vaccination-wise. They seem to be moving in the right direction. Greg Sankey seemed a little bit, just from me watching the video, concerned, right? And was not real happy that less than half of the SEC teams were vaccinated. And Phillips said that they don't really feel the need to announce what will happen with games right now. It's also worth noting that seven of the ACC schools are requiring all students to be vaccinated to be back on campus, which obviously, if you're requiring that, you're going to be a school that has hit this threshold. And also worth noting that NC State baseball lost a chance to play for a national title because its team did not take care of business and go get vaccinated. So I think that probably hits home in the ACC. maybe a little more than it does in some other conferences, and politically as well, that the political makeup of the ACC is different than that of the SEC. I think there are more schools in states where, you know, vaccination is not really a political issue. It's just something that people get done because they believe in science. So, you know, I think it's more likely that the ACC does not encounter quite as many problems with this as the SEC does.
Yeah, and you make a good point regarding NC State baseball. Like you said, I'm sure it hits home, and a lot more of the ACC schools are recognizing that, hey, what happened to NC State baseball could kind of happen to us if we don't get our act together and get vaccinated before the season. I want to move on now. Another thing he mentioned, and obviously it's going to be a large portion of the conversation throughout all media days, really, is name, image, likeness. And specifically, Jim Phillips, mentioned that he doesn't want it to be used as a recruiting tool and wants kind of a more national regulations to determine, you know, the future of NIL and what's right and what's wrong with NIL. Now, my thing is, yes, obviously, you don't want it to be used as a recruiting advantage because you're going to have schools that have huge boosters take advantage of that more than schools that obviously don't have that same backing. But a school in the ACC like Miami, you could already make an argument that while, yes, Jim Phillips doesn't want it to be used as a recruiting tool, can you say that Miami and what the booster who's, you know, giving each player, you know, $500 a month, isn't that a recruiting tool in itself? So one of his schools is already kind of using it for the way that he doesn't want to see it used.
Well, I think you're right. Obviously, Jim Phillips, there are two primary concerns here. The first one is that, as he noted, there are four states that have actual laws passed about NIL. There are two states that have guidance, and everybody else basically is having to abide by the NCAA standard. Some states, their law is more permissive than the NCAA standard, and in some states, their law is less permissive, which does create some inequalities, which is why he's pushing for a national standard so that everybody has to operate under the same rules. The other aspect of this is, like you said, certainly there are programs out there which care more about football in terms of financially than some of the ACC teams do. So Phillips, in my opinion, somewhat laughably, but he has to advocate for his schools. Like that's who he's paid by. He's paid by the ACC schools. Of course, he's concerned about SEC teams and the teams with the huge booster bases trying to funnel money to recruits. But this already happens under the table. We have seen in every decade that the sport has ever been played that, yes, some recruits do get paid under the table. This is now they're just going to be paid above board, and they'll pay some taxes on it, and we won't have to use poker chips or Bitcoin to do it, right? But I totally understand Jim Phillips' concern. I think a national standard on NIL probably makes some sense, but it won't in any way ever not be used as a recruiting tool. It is absolutely a recruiting tool and will be used as such. It's just something he kind of has to say. He also talked about the need for antitrust protection. He noted that the NCAA probably needs to just have an entire look. Comments which, quite frankly, were similar to the ones that Greg Sankey made at SEC. So all the Power Five commissioners seem to be very much on board for maybe having a second look at what the NCAA governs, how it covers enforcement, how it administers championships and rules, et cetera. And I thought one of the key lines that he used was what's right for all 351 may not be right for all the Power Five. 351 being all the 351 NCAA schools. That's probably not a great fit for some of the higher level P5 football playing schools. But yeah, NIL, a national standard is something that he's pushing for. I think most schools would honestly like that so that everybody has to play under the same rules. And then all it comes down to is how far are you willing to go under the set of rules.
Right now, and you said kind of laughably, it is, you know, funny to think that NIL wouldn't be used as a recruiting tool, even in its infancy now. And we see examples of it being used as a recruiting tool. You know, another thing that he pushed on and mentioned was increasing the inventory to the ACC network. I know you had written on Twitter, there were two games that he mentioned specifically, Notre Dame at Virginia Tech and Boston College at Clemson, that are moving to the ACC network this season. What did he have to say about kind of beefing up the alerts for people to go watch the ACC network and just getting more revenue to that channel and to that streaming service, you know, to ultimately help the schools as well?
Yeah, so the ACC is not in a bad spot, but it is not in the best spot among the Power Five leagues. I know for a fact that the ACC is concerned about the revenue gap between them and the Big Ten and the SEC. One of the reasons for the revenue gap is that the ACC network does not bring in the kind of money that the Big Ten network or the SEC network brings in. And one of the reasons for that is because it is not currently carried on Comcast. A really good way to potentially encourage Comcast to carry the ACC network is to announce that you are putting a Notre Dame game on the ACC network. So that now, in addition to having ACC fans call to complain that, hey, they can't see their team, now they're going to have Notre Dame fans calling yet again to say, hey, I can't see my team. Please put the ACC network on Comcast. You know, please give me the ACC network. This is just a play to increase demand for the network, to increase broad carrier coverage, with the main carrier targeted in this circumstance being Comcast, because the ACC has pretty decent reach across most of the other cable providers that cover its geographic footprint.
A couple more, Bud, before we let you go. Dabo Swinney came out, I think it was a couple days ago, might have been yesterday, but he mentioned that he was against the 12-team playoff expansion because I think he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he doesn't think there are 12 teams worthy of being in the playoff. He thinks there's just too many teams. And it's funny, when you go by his logic, you know, he did, I believe, if I remember correctly, rank Ohio State 11th in the final poll last year. And if you go by what he said, to him, at least, Ohio State didn't deserve to be in the playoff then if you rank them all the way at 11. And yet Ohio State rolled Clemson when they played each other in that college football playoff. Did Jim Phillips mention anything about what Dabo Swinney said? And where does Jim Phillips, if he even said anything at all, kind of lean in regards to that 12-team playoff expansion?
Yeah, so he basically gave a really good non-answer. He said, yeah, we acknowledge Dabo Swinney's concerns. We met with athletic directors, with college presidents, and also with coaches. And we said, hey, talk to your coaches, talk to your power players, talk to your student athletes, and get feedback on that. He said they will consider any and all feedback. And I have no reason to think that the ACC is not full steam ahead with supporting the 12-team playoff. They'll be like, all right, thank you for your comments, Dabo Swinney. Really appreciate that. And yeah, Clemson is not the team that probably benefits from this the most. It's the ability for the ACC to get two teams in, whereas right now, only one conference has ever had two teams in, with an asterisk, obviously, last year, Notre Dame and Clemson from the same conference, but Notre Dame is not technically a member, although they were a member for 1 year. Basically, the 12-teamer is most likely better for the ACC than the 4-teamer was, and so I do expect ACC still to support it. It was kind of just lip service to Dabo Swinney's comments.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you're Jim Phillips, you look at this and say, this helps us. Yes, Clemson is more than likely a lock with a 12-team playoff every single season, but obviously this helps the UNCs, this helps the Miamis. You know, eventually, if they get back to where they were, Florida State. So it definitely is a big benefit for the ACC to have this 12-team playoff. So, Bud, I'll let you go on this one. And obviously, you have a full day ahead of hearing from coaches, hearing from, you know, various players, talking to coaches, asking questions. Which coaches, though, are you looking forward to hearing from most, whether it's the rest of today and day one or tomorrow with day two?
Yeah, so in about 30 minutes here, I'm going to go talk to Mac Brown. He's a always a really good, interesting guy to talk to, former national championship winning coach, and he has a hell of a team, you know, this year. I'm, of course, interested to talk to Dabo and hear what he has to say at the end of ACC Media Day on name, image, and likeness. He's clarified some comments recently, and I'm interested also to get his opinion now on the transfer portal, because Clemson, they have a stud quarterback in DJ, but their backup, Taysom, tore his Achilles or ruptures Achilles, I believe, during the spring game.
Yeah.
Maybe comes back this year. We don't know exactly what the timeline is going to be on that. They have a walk-on as their backup quarterback this year. Clemson is not a school which has taken transfers. So I intend to ask Dabo about his stance on transfers and whether this year's quarterback situation maybe will have him reconsider whether they will take transfers in the future.
Yeah, well, Dabo Swinney, you know, always going to be in the spotlight, especially at ACC Media Days. You know, he certainly is not one to shy away from making comments, whether you agree or disagree with him. But Elliot, thanks so much for coming on, and enjoy Charlotte. Enjoy, you know, if you do have any time after Media Day today, after Media Day tomorrow, to see the surrounding area. Enjoy talking to the coaches, and, you know, obviously, whenever you do leave, get back safely, and we look forward to hearing from you soon.
All right, Lance, be well.
You can follow him on Twitter at BudElliott3. Remember that if you like what you hear, make sure to drop us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. We'd love to hear what you think, if you have any questions, any ideas for a topic, or if you haven't heard your favorite team yet. My name is Lance Glynn. Enjoy your Thursday, everyone. I'll be back on Friday for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever,
or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.